Support for KNKX comes from Friends of Waterfront Park, bringing people and communities together to ensure Seattle's Waterfront Park, the 20-acre public space along the downtown shoreline, thrives as a gathering place, honoring the city's natural beauty and stories. More at waterfrontparkseattle.org.
Welcome to the KNKX Studios. I'm Abe Beeson with an exclusive session performance with Brian Nova and his band. One of the top guitarists in jazz and also a terrific singer, Nova has toured the world working in his own groups, from big bands to solo performances, and in collaboration with legends like Arturo Sandoval, Joe Pass, Herb Ellis, and many more. And if you're old enough, you remember Brian Nova as one of the top jazz musicians in the Northwest way back in the 80s and 90s. He left the Seattle area to pursue jazz in the early 2000s, but he's been back for a few years now, better than ever. Brian Nova Quartet hits the stage at Demetrio's Jazz Alley Tuesday and Wednesday nights. That's tonight and tomorrow. And they're here now in the KNKX studios. I'm so excited. Pianist Shelley Berg, bassist Terry Miller, and drummer Gary Novak. Let's hear it for the Brian Nova Quartet.
They say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful, so they say. And with the moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, so they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand. And the thing that's known as romance, it's wonderful, wonderful in every way. So they say. Thank you. Novak. They say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful, so they say. And with the moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, so they tell me. You wake up some morning, and without any warning, you're running around shouting that love is grand. And to hold your girl in your arms, it's wonderful, wonderful, in every way, in every way.
Just can't.
recall. It doesn't matter at all. Beginning,
next one is one of our favorites, Cole Porter song called Love for Sale.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Brian Nova and his quartet in the studios here at KNKX with Shelley Berg at the piano. Let's hear it for Shelley. Terry Miller on the bass and Gary Novak behind the drum kit. Great, great band. The brand new record is out now. They say it's wonderful, so I guess the reviews are already in.
Maybe.
And the band is playing tonight and tomorrow night at Jazz Alley. Brian Nova, such a pleasure to have you here and to have you back in Seattle. Let's start with a little bit of your history. You're a Seattle guy.
I grew up
on the South End in the 70s, and the world of guitar was really focused on rock and roll and maybe funk at the time.
Yeah, I grew up in the South End, and it was all funk and Motown. My first heroes were kind of like, you know, Earth, Wind & Fire, those sorts of bands. But it was great. We lived on the edge of Seattle, so the guys across the street from me went to Rainier Beach, which was very funky back then, you know, soul. And then the guys on our side of the street all went to Renton, which back then was sort of more Southern rock. So all my friends there listened to Allman Brothers and all that. And then where I went to high school was up on Capitol Hill, and they were all into, like, you know, classic rock, Stones, Led Zeppelin, that stuff. So I had quite a upbringing with a lot of different styles of music.
Right, and there were so many guitar players. You ended up playing a lot of bass.
I did. Every band had like five guitar players.
The guitarmies of the 70s, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, you did get lured in by the world of jazz, and it was a bit of a surprise to you. Tell us about that moment, seeing Herb Ellis for the first time.
Oh, right. So this was the old Jazz Alley when it was up on 45th, and a friend of mine was actually... the mother of a friend of mine took me out for, she said, I'm going to take you to listen to a jazz guitar player. And I went kicking and screaming. I thought, I don't want to hear some old guy play Misty all night long, you know? And when I got there, it was Herbie, and he was playing with Barney McClure was on B3, and Greg Kaplaner was on the drums.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, man. And Herb was probably younger than I am today, but to me, he looked ancient. And I thought, this guy's going to have a cardiac arrest before the bridge. He's 8-5, he doesn't make it through the tune. And he sat there, and he messed with all his stuff. And then they tore into probably like Flintstones, or, you know, rhythm changes.
Sure.
And I still have a mark on my chin where my chin hit the table. I just didn't know the guitar could be played that way. I was 19. I didn't know. I've been chasing after it ever since.
So when you worked your way into the Northwest jazz scene at the time, it was kind of right at the beginnings of some of the great jazz education systems that were building in the Northwest. But there were a lot of great jazz professionals. Or if you could talk about some of your mentors from the Seattle scene back in the day.
Yeah, so we were really lucky. You know, Buddy Catlett had got off the road with Basie and Sinatra and with Louis Armstrong and decided to come back to Seattle. And, you know, I got to play a lot with Buddy. Floyd Standifer was on the scene back then. There's a whole host of great musicians that had. Hadley Kahneman was out here. And a lot of great singers were out here singing as well and playing. So it was really a lot of fun back then. There were a lot of places to play. You could play five nights a week. Mm-hmm. I did play five nights a week.
You were certainly one of the top guitarists, jazz guitarists in the city back in the 90s. But as a lot of people remember, back in the 90s, this wasn't really a jazz city. This was all about rock and roll back then. So as grunge exploded, you went out of Seattle to find your jazz career. And it turned out you got to work with some incredible legends of jazz guitar with Herb Ellis and also Joe Pass.
Yeah, Joe was great. He was kind of like a musical father. He didn't want anybody around at first. And he was a tough egg to break, but I was lucky. I played with another great musician here in town, Primo Kim.
Oh, sure.
He's been here forever. Primo, he plays piano like Bill Evans. He sings like Mel Torme, and he can actually kick left bass like Ray Brown all at the same time. And I was just, he taught me thousands of songs. And that's how I got to know Joe. Joe and I were like walking around, and he wanted nothing to do with me. And so with all the old guys, it's all about the songs. If you don't know tunes, then why? I don't care how many chops you've got or where you studied or any of that. If you don't know songs, you don't understand the vernacular. So we walked for 3 hours challenging each other with songs. And Primo taught me thousands of songs in any key. So I was kind of armed for it. And that's what kind of caught his ear more than anything.
Yeah, that's exciting that Seattle had prepared you to go and encounter Joe
Pass. Exactly, yeah.
So
literally.
What did you get from Joe Pass and from Herb Ellis about your guitar style and the way you pursued your career?
Oh, a lot. You know, Herbie taught me time, that's for sure. I don't know if there was anybody that had better time. He kept Ray Brown in check for many, many years and kept Oscar on it for many years, you know, and we talk about that. You know, they had created some incredible dynamics together where, you know, Herbie was laying back and Raymond was pushing forward, and that created the tension that Oscar could play with. So Herb taught me time, and it was amazing. His time was so strong that I don't care how good you were or what you played against it, you just sounded corny. Just, and guys were like, yeah, you know, Herb, he's okay. I'm like, you don't understand. It's like Mike Tyson. It's like boxing. Like, you don't really know how much it hurts to get punched till you're in the ring with someone that actually knows how to punch. And you're just like, and there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. And that's kind of the way Herbie was. He was just, he was a freight train.
And I'm going to make a bit of a stretch of a connection here, but you were mentioning Oscar Peterson, worked with Herb Ellis. Oscar, a big fan, as we both are, of
Of
Nat King Cole. And in fact, Oscar Peterson put out a couple tribute records. His voice sounded a lot like Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
Really remarkable. You and I think, share one of our favorite records, the After Midnight Sessions. Incredible. And I want to talk to you about how you got into singing. Was it kind of that love for the Nat King Cole's type outfit?
It was. You know, I grew up singing rock and roll and funk. I mean, it was a party band, but, you know, in high school. part of college, and it was actually Eddie Harris that convinced me. He's like, man, you got to sing. You know, you should be singing this stuff, and got me to try to do more singing. And of course, like all my peers of today's era, there's only one record that all the singers today follow, and that was the After Midnight Sessions. Dinah Krall follows it. Mm-hmm. John Pizzarelli follows it. What's the piano player from New York? You know, Harry Connick follows it. Anybody that sings and plays has studied this record to no end, and we carry it. We're actually do some tunes off of it. We'll be doing some this weekend off of that record. I still play it all the time.
And I also want to talk about your versatility as a musician. You play in a lot of different styles. Hawaiian music is a big part of your set as well. And that's a kind of a family thing. You told me a funny story the other day about getting around at a family reunion with a bunch of Hawaiians who aren't really that interested in hearing high-end jazz.
Not even low-end jazz. I mean, there was no-end jazz. They wanted nothing to do. It's like 20 years ago, we had this family reunion. There's like 700 relatives in this big, huge complex. And they're like, well, you're the big star from the mainland, you know, so we want you to play something, you know, Saturday night. And I went out there, and I thought, well, I'll wow them with guitar. So I'm doing all my Joe Pass, just going crazy. And they're just like, come on, cuz, play the kind. And then I started to play some jazz, you know, singing along, thought, oh, maybe my Nat King Cole bag will get them. And nah. And what they really wanted to hear was just, you know, the Hawaiian, the slack key kind of stuff, you know. And so I tuned my guitar down, I played that, and of course it was a huge ovation. I thought, that's it, my jazz career in Hawaii is over. It lasted about a song and a half.
There is a Hawaiian tune, I believe, on your new album, which is brand new, just out. They say it's wonderful. I can't wait to listen to it because I bet it lives up to its title.
Yeah.
Tell us more about how you chose the songs for this. It's a lot of great standards.
It is. It's just songs I've been singing and playing a lot. I'm over, when I'm not on the road with these guys, I'm over at the Four Seasons Hotel. And I get to run through, you know, I don't know, couple hundred songs a week that I get to try out and figure out what to play and what not to play, and kind of came up with a handful of songs that I just always loved and thought we'd, and some new ones, like from the beginning. I've always been a big Emerson, Lake, and Palmer fan, so I've been trying to dig out some oldies.
And this is a special album that's coming out. It's High Fidelity. Tell us more about that experience.
Oh, yeah. It was recorded what they call DSD 512, which nobody does because it takes up way too much space and too much room, but a very brilliant high-end sound engineer and CEO of PS Audio, Paul McGowan, created a studio out in Boulder that can do this, and so we went out there and recorded, and it was somewhat frightening, actually, because, yeah, there's nowhere to hide.
It's all you're blinking too loud.
Yeah, right. It can hear, yeah, my toes ruffle, yeah.
Well, Brian, it's so good to have you back in town. And you've been, since you've had family here, you're not exactly a stranger to the Seattle area over the last 20 years. But what brought you back to settle back in to the Northwest?
A lot of it was family. I still, you know, I have a lot of family here still. And part of it was just, I was missing the Seattle scene. There's just something about it. I've moved out of Seattle probably a dozen times and moved back now 13 times. Yeah, I just, I love it here. It's really home.
Well, the Northwest jazz scene is red hot right now. We couldn't be more excited to have you as a part of it, Brian Nova. Let's hear it for him once again.
Yeah, guys.
Shelly Berg at the piano. We have Terry Miller on bass and Gary Novak at the drums. The brand new record is called They Say It's Wonderful. Don't miss the band at Demetrius Jazz Alley tonight and tomorrow night. And you'll find Brian playing at the Four Seasons Hotel on First Avenue every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Thank you so much to the KNKX Studio Sessions team. Our audio engineer is Adam Bird, video producer Parker Blome, promotions director Brenda Goldstein-Young. My name's Abe Beeson. Thanks so much to Jazz Alley for helping us set up today's studio session. And thanks all of you for listening.